It's time for Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group with financial advisors Kevin Corhorn, Mike Bernard, and Josh Gregory.
Welcome to another episode of the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group, where every week we're helping you take your next wise step in your financial life. Thanks for being here, friends. My name is Mike Bernard. I'm your host. I'm also one of the certified financial planners on the show. And with me in the KFG studios, as always, my business partners and fellow CFPs, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory.
Well, as the tax filing season for 2023 draws to a close, what kind of tax planning strategies do you need to have ready for 2024? What needs to be on your radar? What's changing in your life? How are the tax laws themselves changing in the year ahead? And how do your strategies need to be optimized? We're going to be covering all that and more on today's episode.
So geeky. But listen, if you aren't doing proactive tax planning, then odds are you've got dollars slipping through your fingers or out of your financial life going to Uncle Sam, when in fact they could be retained and help you achieve your financial goals or have more enjoyment along the way. So that's what we're talking about today. If you have a question for the program or have any needs, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or text us 574-222-2000. That's 574-222-2000. Online, wisemoneyshow.com is where you can find us. Then all over social media, wherever you're at, we are there as well. Search The Wise Money Show. All right, so tax season is wrapping up, and hopefully the result, the process, was appropriate for you. And like Josh said, I mean, really, you don't need to be thinking about taxes all the time. You don't. And tax season is one event. However, tax planning is throughout the entire year. And even if that sounds so geeky, like I already said, it's okay. It can be geeky to you, but your CFP needs to love it. Like, we love it. And throughout tax season, and yeah, it's busy and it's full, but our CFPs love looking and trying to solve the puzzle and figure out, okay, the plan was this. How did it actually turn out? Yes, the plan worked great. Okay, now we need to make these adjustments for this year. It's fun. And I know that's sort of geeky. So anyway, but what are some of those changes that need to be on your radar for this year? We're going to hit them. But before we do, let's just review the dates. Tax filing deadline is coming up in a couple days, but then lots of key dates you need to know. So what are those?
Yeah, we're actually back to April 15th this year.
Yeah.
A lot of years, it's the 16th, the 17th, the 18th, just depending on where weekends fall and federal holidays and things like that. But Monday's your deadline. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready to file. Maybe you have filed an extension, though, and you can buy yourself some more time on a tax return. That's just to get the thing filed, get it into the government's hands. It doesn't mean that you get extra time to pay the taxes, though. So keep that in mind. The tax bill, if you are going to owe, even if you're not 100% sure of what that amount is, you may need to be paying in an additional estimated amount along with this extension filing that you need to do. And so keep that in mind. You may be rushing at the last minute to get your taxes e-filed or in the mail or whatever, but don't lose sight of that coming up in a couple days.
If you do file an extension, that's going to mean your taxes then need to be filed by October 15. That also sometimes changes slightly if there's a weekend or whatever. But that delays the time that you need to file a tax return, but you might want to make a payment along with it. If you are paying estimated taxes for 2024, that first payment, the first quarter estimate, is due on April 15 as well. The next quarter, these don't go by calendar quarters. The next quarter is June 15, but it's actually June 17 because of the weekend. So second quarter payment is June 17. September 16 is the third quarter payment, and then January 15 of 2025 is the fourth quarter payment. So any other key dates to be aware of, guys?
If you happen to file an extension for your business, just keep in mind that you have up until September 15th or I guess 16th yep. to file now. So keep that in mind. Corporate and partnership type returns, those are due earlier than personal returns. You just need to know that if you're a business owner.
That's right. All right. So every single year when you're getting your tax return done, you need to answer three questions. Okay, three questions. The first question is, when the return is done, but before you file it, well, do I understand where every number came from? Do I get it? Okay. And again, you don't need to be a tax expert, but at least a review to say, I've got all the income sources here. Yep, I've got this. And yes, this deduction. And yes, that's all correct. That's the first question. Second question, again, your return is done, but you haven't filed it. Is there anything that I could be doing right now to improve last year's return, to improve this return before I file it? That's where you're catching, you know, there's a handful of things that you can do after the fact, after January 1st, but before April 15 to improve the return. But then it's the third question. That's what we're going to hit today. And that is, well, is there anything changing either in my financial life or in the tax laws that require me or where I should adjust my tax planning right now while it's still early in the year, mm-hmm. and make a shift right now to improve my tax picture for a year from now? So that third question, that's what we're going to focus on. Let's start with just some overall life changes that you could be experiencing that's going to have a big impact on your taxes.
Well, I'll hit one that's hitting close to home for us. My oldest in 2024 turned 16, which means this is going to be the last year ahead for me that I'll get a child tax credit for him. When your kids turn 17, they kind of drop off. You don't get this $2,000 credit. Now, it does get replaced with a $500 credit, so it's essentially a $1,500 swing for most people. But that can sometimes make the difference between you being in refund mode versus maybe owing some taxes. So you don't want to be caught by surprise on that one.
$1,500, that's real money. That's a lot of money. Some folks mm-hmm. I just met with this week, we've been doing planning together. I remember when their first child was born, and now this year that first child turned 17 and had to share the news with them that, okay, this $2,000 tax credit's going to be dropping down to 500, so we got to adjust withholdings.
Yeah, I want you to understand the credits and how they work, because it's actually unbelievable how they do work and sometimes don't work you. My son Caleb is a second lieutenant in the Marines, and he called me and he said, "Dad, I got a question. I got a buddy here." He had two buddies. One buddy was married and had a child, and he had paid basically nothing in for taxes and was getting about $5,000 back. Mm. And his other buddy was saying, "That's impossible. You've made a mistake on your taxes." And this is why I shared with those guys. I'm like, "Hey guys, this is why you're going to work until you die, because that $5,000 that this guy's getting back, yeah, that's called the earned income tax credit." Mm-hmm. And it's another one of these credits that we're talking about, and you want to understand what is an earned income tax credit? Like, what? I paid nothing in, I'm getting $5,000 back? Yeah, yeah. And you're not getting it from the government. I told him specifically he was getting it from me. Because the government doesn't have any money except what they confiscate from me. So you want to understand how the credits work and make sure that you're taking advantage of them and getting all that you can, and know when they pop up and when they go away.
That's exactly right. And if you're not familiar with the language of what is a tax credit is our favorite part of the tax return. And you want to zero in on this, because it's literally taking whatever calculated tax you were supposed to pay and then just erasing parts of the tax that's owed. So it's a dollar for dollar reduction in what you were supposed to pay in taxes. And sometimes it requires you to take some action. You know, maybe you need to be contributing to a retirement account in order to get a retirement savers credit. And there's a good way to do that, and there's a great way to do it. And you need to know the difference between the two. Others, it's just you need to make sure that you're accounting for it and keeping yourself eligible. If your income goes too high, some credits can go away. And so this is where tax planning is so important. You don't want to get to April 13th and then be filing your taxes and just hope for the best. You want to have already done what was within your power to make yourself eligible for these types of credits.
Now, a couple other changes. Speaking of credits, you have a child that's entering college, or a child that just graduated college. There are college tax credits if you're eligible based on your adjusted gross income, and that's another one. If you had if you saw a change in your income, that can cause a change in these tax credits if you have a child going to college or a child that's graduating college. So that could be a big one. If you have a child that's been in daycare and now they're starting school, that's also another potential big tax credit that maybe you've had before that you won't get this year. And once again, these are, well, Is it going to make or break your tax picture? I don't know. A few hundred dollars, could be $1,000 here or there. That's real money. And showing up where, okay, we're probably going to get our $1,200 refund again. And no, you owe $1,200. That's a big shift. You want to avoid those surprises. What other big changes could be going on in your life that you need to plan for from a tax standpoint? And then what tax law changes are impacting you this year as well? We've got that and more coming up on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
What changes are going on in your life that actually are going to impact your tax return? That in order to avoid surprises, capture opportunities, you need to have some awareness on that right now and adjust your tax planning. That's what we're helping with right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KF2 studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Every episode of the Wise Money Show is on podcast. Wherever you listen, search the Wise Money Show. Subscribe to it there. Follow us there. Rate the program there. We appreciate it. All right. So what changes are going on in your life that you need to be aware of from a tax standpoint? Over the break, I was just sharing. We had a comment and I did a video on this on the YouTube channel. So make sure you go check that out as well. Or an individual had said, hey, I'd heard that when you pay off your mortgage, your homeowner's insurance could get canceled. And not to, you know, cut to the chase, but no, it's because when you have a mortgage, your homeowner's insurance is paid out of your escrow. You're paying extra in escrow payment on your monthly mortgage payment. It goes to the bank and then the bank gets the homeowner's insurance bill. And when you pay that mortgage off, now you've got to get the bill. But in order for that to happen, you've got to have that awareness and communicate to your home and auto insurance agent. If you don't communicate that, you're not going to get the bill. You won't pay it and the insurance will drop. So same thing here. What is changing in your life that you just got to be aware of? It's going to impact your taxes. I guess I'll just take a quick moment to say, I mean, your CFP is going to have all of this on their radar. Mm-hmm. So meeting with them and doing proactive tax planning with them or just doing financial planning with them, they will know, hey, make sure you communicate to the insurance agent or I'll communicate to the insurance agent that you've just paid off your mortgage, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, it's yet another reason why we think it's so important for you to have a long-term relationship with your certified financial planner, because as your life changes, your example is just one where there are ramifications, there's consequences to a really good change in your life that may be off your radar. Every time you come to a new stage in life, a new big transition where you're kind of entering a new world, so to speak, I'll use going from your working career to retirement as maybe the granddaddy of them all, mm-hmm. Major change in life. There are all kinds of decisions that you have to make. There are all kinds of things that are going to change with your tax situation, which is obviously what we're talking about today. But one of those may just simply be the fact that you're no longer getting money out of a paycheck and you're replacing it with something else. It could be drawing down off of savings. It could be pulling money out of those retirement accounts that you've been accumulating in for so long. Maybe you're turning on Social Security. Every single one of those has some kind of tax impact for you because not every stream of income is treated the same way from a tax standpoint.
Yeah. So are your withholdings appropriate? And so when you shift from working career where your withholdings are almost automatic, yes, you fill out that W-4 and you can change it every so often if you need to, but it's essentially automatic. When you shift to retirement, it's not automatic. Starting Social Security, is that something that you're going to do this year? If so, when you sign up for Social Security, they're almost going to pretend like it's not going to be taxed. Someone proved me wrong, but I'm pretty sure when you sign up for Social Security, they don't ask if you want to withhold taxes. It's as if they don't want you to know it could be taxable to you. You have to fill out a separate form. And last I checked, you have to mail it in, snail mail it. And so are you starting Social Security? That could be a big tax change this year.
And you can only withhold for Fed, not for state.
Yeah.
On Social Security.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things that often changes when you go from your working career to retirement is how are you being covered from a health insurance standpoint? If you retire before age 65, there's a good chance that you're looking at the marketplace or the Affordable Care Act, we often refer to it as, to get your own private policy in place. And this is one that absolutely has significant tax consequences for you. based on where you think your income will land or where you choose for your income to land, you may be eligible for something called a premium tax credit, which is essentially the government helping to knock the cost down for you on an ongoing basis. What are your monthly premiums for that private health insurance plan going to be? They can be more or less depending on how high your income goes. Mm-hmm. And this can be something that swings your tax return significantly from year to year. If all of a sudden you've got extra income and it turns out that now you're less eligible for those premium tax credits, you could even find yourself in a situation where you're having to pay some back at tax time.
Oh, yeah, significantly. We shared that before. If you're getting your health insurance through healthcare.gov, whether that's right before retirement or you know you're self-employed or don't have coverage through your employer, you need financial planning. Oh my goodness, you need financial planning. And if this is the year that you're shifting from just normal health insurance, maybe group plan, onto healthcare.gov, oh my goodness, you need to be aware of this. Otherwise, you could be in store for a pretty big tax surprise.
And I just met with those folks, and they were saying, well, it's only based on this. Only one of them was working, so it's only based on their income.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not. Based on your adjusted gross income. Mm-hmm, yep. And it's amazing because it was papered over because it was a meaningful payment. The advanced premium tax credit has to be paid back. And so this was getting paid back, but because of some other credits that they had in their financial life, it wasn't, you couldn't see it.
Hmm.
And so they didn't realize it had happened. And if all you're doing is getting tax preparation and this person is only doing compliance work for you, you're not going to be noticing these things. They didn't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They didn't know that they'd paid back a ton of money.
I mean, and here's the thing with that. You don't know. You're not aware of that until February, March, or April when you get your taxes done.
Right.
Well, if you're going to be on healthcare.gov insurance for this upcoming year, you state, hey, this is what I think my income's going to be. You set that in December.
Yeah.
Before you know this.
Yep. So you might already be 2, 3, 4 months into this year and have the same problem brewing again for a second year in a row. That's exactly right. You know, one other example of how your healthcare could change when you transition into retirement is maybe after age 65, you're going on to Medicare. And a lot of people don't realize when they first get started, they go off of a group plan that their employer had been providing, and now they're making their own choices for themselves, and they choose a Medicare plan. And the premiums, the cost that you could be covering is also based on where's your income landing.
Yep.
If you end up getting some big inheritance or having some extra large distributions out of your retirement accounts from year to year, that can all of a sudden send you up into higher thresholds where you're suddenly paying more in Medicare premiums than what Medicare Part B and Part D premiums than what you ever imagined.
Suddenly, meaning 2 years later.
Yeah.
Right? Not being aware that calculation or the determination of whether you're paying a surcharge for your Medicare Part B and Part D is based on your income from 2 years ago. And so yes. So all that list, everything that we just ran through, those aren't changes in the tax law. Those are just changes in life. And Kevin often says that financial planning is being able to see how the seemingly disconnected parts of your financial life are actually connected. And so your life and just normal life that you wouldn't think it's going to have a tax impact, it might. It might. And so work with the certified financial planner. Do this proactive tax work. But tax laws do change. And in fact, I don't know. My guess is there's been more tax law changes in the past 5 years, thanks to Secure Act 1, Secure Act 2, and the litany of COVID taxes and stimulus. More tax change in the last 5 years than maybe the previous 20. What tax law changes are occurring this year that could impact you? First one's local here in where we're headquartered, Northern Indiana, Southern Michigan. Michigan has brought back their retirement or pension tax deduction. And I don't even know if we can explain all the details to it, but it used to be if you were born before a certain year, then some of your retirement benefits, pensions,
or all of it,
weren't included in your calculation for Michigan taxes. Well, then it went away. If you were born after, I think it was 1952, something like that, then nah, sorry, you're out of luck. Well, now they're bringing it back. That's fantastic. So there's a little calculation, some choice that you need to make. If you were increasing, if you're withdrawing more from your retirement account and then withholding for Michigan taxes, you're choosing to pay more tax because you drew out more when in fact you could actually bring your withdrawal amount down a little bit, withhold a little bit less, and take advantage of this. So be aware of that. Work with your certified financial planner on that. That's localized here. What are some other big tax law changes you need to be aware of for your planning for 2024? That more coming up on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
What tax law changes are impacting you that if you're aware of proactively right now, you can take advantage of them and capture opportunities, avoid tax surprises for a year from now? That's what we're helping with right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. Across from me in the KFG studios, making jokes, Kevin Corhorn. In between us, Josh Gregory trying to mediate, I think. Looking at,
yes.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Every episode of the Wise Money Show is on the YouTube channel. Go check it out, as well as a lot of other content as well. Go to YouTube, search the Wise Money Show, subscribe to it there. Turn on notifications so you're made aware every time we drop new content, and you can leave questions and comments there as well. We appreciate it. All right, tax law changes in 2024. Your life could be changing. You need to be aware of how it's going to impact your taxes, but tax law changes in general. Mentioned that locally here, Michigan has made some changes bringing back the retirement deduction. Kevin, there's a strategy there you want to talk about.
There is. And as Mike said earlier, it's ununderstandable. So for those of you in Rio Linda, that means you can't understand it. Rush used to say, for those of you in Rio Linda, I would say for those of you in Woodville, Michigan. Yeah. But so it is difficult to understand, but the big idea is if I pull money out of an IRA or I'm getting money from my pension, I pay federal taxes on it, but I don't pay state taxes on it. That's the way it used to be, and then Governor Schneider did away with that, and now they're bringing that back. So why is that important? Because the question is, if mom and dad have retirement money, who's going to pay tax on that money? And if mom and dad have a tax plan instead of just tax preparation, they might look at that and say, hey, if we pull the money out, we'll pay federal and no state taxes on it. But if we die with this money and it goes to the children, they will pay federal and state taxes on it. So this is where you, to me, you want to optimize your tax plan and figure out who should do it. And I'm not saying mom and dad take the money out and give it to the kids right now. You don't have to do that. You could convert it to a Roth IRA. You could just pull it out and put it in a non-qualified thing. You could pull it out and do some fun with it.
Yep.
But you got to look at who's going to pay what tax on those dollars and have a multi-generational strategy. That's the, for our money, that's the way to plan your financial life.
Yep. And that's true whether you're a Michigan resident or not. You might be sitting listening here in North Dakota, and this new tax law change in our local state doesn't pertain to you. But the principle does, right? Because you might be facing the exact same situation where you have parents who have retirement dollars and they may be celebrating each tax season that they paid zero tax again. And that might be good, but it's not great, right? Mm-hmm. Because there might be a tax bill that is accumulating. It's an IOU to the government that's going to make its way down to you someday. Mm-hmm. And what if after avoiding all those taxes all those years, you end up paying a much larger sum in the end? Mm-hmm. That's not great multi-generational tax planning, right? Yep. So if you haven't had those types of conversations with your aging parents especially, it may be time to help them think about what happens with these dollars beyond their lifetime, and especially consider how much of it's going to end up in Uncle Sam's hands.
Speaking of multi-generational planning, One of the big tax law changes this year is it's now legal to transfer money from a 529 to a Roth IRA. You can't do it yet, but you're allowed to. So logistically, they're still trying to sort it out. Maybe by the end of the year, they'll have it available. Lots of red tape and rules to figure out. So why are we even bringing it up here? Because if the stars align and you're able to do it, then you want to know that. But two, this could be part of your plan now. If your state offers a state tax benefit for contributing to the 529 plan and you've been unsure whether the grandchild or your kids will even need this money for college, maybe you take advantage of that state tax benefit or the future tax-free and compound interest, knowing that, well, in the future, this money could actually be diverted into that child's Roth IRA. And so it could update your planning and your approach proactively. So be aware that big tax law is changing this year. Work with your CFP to see if that's something you should adjust.
You know, there may be another adjustment that you need to be thinking about as early in the year as possible, and that's having to do with how much are you contributing to things like retirement accounts, or maybe you're contributing out of your paycheck into a health savings account through your employer. Those limits have increased again this year, and if you're just kind of on autopilot and we got to 2024 and you made no change, you've been maxing it out, you may be on pace to come up a little bit short. And so keep in mind that if you're contributing to things like a 401k at work, that's $23,000 that you can contribute, plus another $7,500 if you're over age 50. There's a catch-up contribution. Maybe you're contributing to a health savings account. That's $8,300 for a family now. It's increased since last year, plus another $1,000 if you're able to take advantage of that catch-up contribution.
Plus another $1,000.
At 55.
Yeah, different age. That's good.
At 55, mm-hmm. And if you and your spouse are both over age 55, I mean, that's 10 grand. That's 10 grand mm-hmm. you could put into an HSA. That's tremendous.
That's meaningful money.
Yeah. So being aware of those contribution limits and again, like thinking of that near the end of the year where you might say, okay, well, yeah, financially I'm prepared now, but there's not as much time left to make those contributions. Now, being aware of it now so you can adjust your contributions, that's how you'll take full advantage of those. Speaking of retirement contributions, your 401k match can now be Roth. Once again, it's allowed, it's legal, you just can't do it. Most of us can't do it. But this one should be a little bit sooner adoption. 401k plan providers have been working on this one for over a year now. And the hope is that sometime by middle of the year, many companies will be able to have you log in and make the shift and say, I wanna voluntarily pay tax on my company match right now, and therefore have it contributed to the Roth side of my 401k. If you do that, know that there won't be any withholdings on that. They're not going to automatically increase what is being withheld. If you are contributing pre-tax to your 401k and you switch it over to Roth, your own contributions, the amount that's being withheld from your paycheck will go up. But if you shift your employer contributions, that matching contribution to be Roth, those withholdings will not go up. So you need to be aware of that. I've got some folks that I'm working with that are going to take advantage of this as soon as it becomes available. So
awesome.
What else? What other big changes there? I can keep rolling.
Keep rolling, Mike. Yeah. We'll chime in.
So one of the other things, if you're thinking about Roth and Roth contributions, early in the Secure Act 2.0 being rolled out, there was a rule that if you were a high wage earner, your catch-up contributions were going to be required to be Roth, okay? Required to be Roth, and that was supposed to take effect this year as well. They've delayed that until 2026. Had a couple clients that have had this on their radar that have come in and said, yeah, we got to make this change, right? And it's, nope, you don't have to yet. They've delayed that until 2026. Honestly, what I'm thinking is, will they delay it even further? Mm-hmm. This part of the law is really, really confusing. If you're a high wage earner, if you make more than 145 grand, is it 135?
I had 150 in my head.
No, so it's not 155.
No.
Don't do math on the radio.
Let's just start making numbers up.
So mm-hmm. whatever that threshold is, but it's from that same company. So did you make at least that much from them last year? If you switch jobs or something like that, then how can they really police this? And therefore they've delayed that that ruling. Another one that's being delayed is you've heard about this $600 threshold for Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, those sorts of things, where that'll be reported on your taxes via something called a 1099-K. You're used to maybe a 1099-R or 1099-DIV, something like that.
NEC.
This is 1099-K. And for the past few years, they've said, well, if you're using Apple Pay or Venmo or whatever, and your transactions are more than $600, then you're going to get a tax form for this, because you're going to have to report any of it that was that should be included on your tax return. Well, they've delayed that again, thankfully, because it's just going to be a disaster when it gets rolled out. They've delayed it again, and they've signaled that in 2024, instead of $600 being the threshold, it might be $5,000. The threshold right now is currently $20,000, and you have to have more than 200 transactions. And that weeds a lot of just kind of consumers out. But they've delayed it again for 23, and for 24, they're saying they might bring the threshold down to $5,000 as they phase it in. So work with your CFP on that. There's more changes, tax law changes you need to be aware of. We've got that and more coming up on the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
Thanks for being here. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. My name is Mike Bernard, here with me in the KFG studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Every episode of the Wise Money Show is on the YouTube channel. It's also, you can find it online on our website as well. Go to wisemoneyshow.com and you can check out the show. You can check out more information about Corhorn Financial Group as well. And then you can find us all over social media, wherever you're at. We are there as well. Search the Wise Money Show. All right. Big tax law changes that are happening in 2024 that you need to be planning for. Some changes potentially in your life, other changes going on with the tax laws. Simple IRA contributions. Now, this doesn't apply to as many people because of some tax law changes. More people are, or more companies are, adopting 401k plans. Used to be the primary retirement plan for a small business was the simple IRA. Kevin, that's no longer the case, really. Even though it's designed for small businesses, thanks to some tax credits and some of the law changes with 401k, more small businesses are just opting to go directly to the 401k.
Yes, and so you want to understand that. I mean, there's never been a better time in the history of the world to set up a retirement plan. And some folks want to do the one step and just go right to the 401k. Some people want to do the two step. The last, it used to be there were a couple of big things about the 401k that you wanted to do that you couldn't do in a simple IRA, which was you could do after tax. Some people might call them Roth. You could do Roth contributions.
Like the whole world? Is that what you mean?
You could do Roth contributions to a 401k. You couldn't do those to a simple. They've changed that now.
Yeah.
The remaining benefit, I would say it's kind of a biggie, is that I can borrow against my 401k dollars. Some people say that's a benefit. Some people say not. I say that's a tool, and I don't judge tools. I just say, what's the job that needs to be done? So the simple IRA, Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees, that's an acronym.
Got it.
And so what happens there is that you've got a smaller bucket, and you've got a mandatory company match. And so there's less flexibility, but I would say there's less everything. There's less responsibility for the employer. There's less liability. Go on down the line. Mm-hmm. Now, if you said, I have a small business and I don't have a retirement plan, run, don't walk to your nearest CFP who specializes in retirement plans, and we've got them here at Corhorn Financial Group, because you want to set up a retirement plan. Likely, all the costs that you would incur in your first year for setting that plan up, you will get back in the form of credits. And credits are what basically what someone else has paid in and is now given to you. So you're going to get that money back in the form of credits. And then really for the first 3 years, depending on the number of employees and a number of different factors, but you're going to get some sort of financial benefit for having that retirement plan. And by the end of 3 years, if you do it right and you're working with the right folks and your team is getting helped, that plan should be sustainable, and the expenses of that plan should be able to be sustained by the participants in it, and it should work just fabulous. We've seen it over and over again.
That's basically just a lot of the design considerations. If you're the employer who wants to benefit their employees, there are these great incentives. You were referring to credits. Those are tax credits. So this is the government creating incentives for you to help support your employees and their ability to save for retirement.
Yep. That's with 401ks. If you have a simple IRA, the contribution limits for simples got unsimple this past year. But it gives you more flexibility. But again, early in the year, here in April, you want to be aware of this. You can adjust your contribution. So the simple IRA contribution limit went up to 16 grand. Kevin was talking about the difference between simples and 401ks. 401ks is 23,000 if you're going to max that out. Simple is 16,000. However, if your business has 25 or fewer employees, then you can contribute an extra 10% above that. So instead of 16 grand, 16 grand plus 1600.
Stop it, Mike.
I know. Don't do math.
So wait a second. But the same thing applies to your catch-up contribution as well. And the catch-up contribution for the simple went up to or stayed at $3,500. So you can do another 10% on top of that, another 350. If you have, and there's even more math because you need to know, well, how many employees do we even have here? Is it 24? Or are a couple, is the cat on the payroll? You know, is it 26? So you need to be aware of that. And then again, if you're going to take advantage of this, you want to be aware of it now so you can increase your contributions to reach that max.
Yep. Have you read any kind of guidance on if you go over 25 partway through the year?
No.
Is it as of a certain date?
No.
If you go up and then back down on your number of employees?
No.
This is the problem with a lot of these laws get passed, but there's not always the best consideration on how they get implemented in the real world. And that's why in the last segment we were talking about how, hey, there were some tax law changes that were passed in recent years that are being delayed on the implementation or the rollout of them. Yeah. This is why your tax planning has to be an ongoing process. This isn't a one-time event. It's not even, for some people, it's more often even than annual. You know, they need to be considering how their situation is changing real time. And it's why you need to have your certified financial planner on speed dial as life changes for you.
All right, a couple others that I'm going to share. And these aren't law changes, but they are government changes that you need to be aware of. And the biggie going from 22 to 23 was if you were on Social Security, you saw an 8.7% increase in your Social Security. Cost of living adjustment was astounding, big number. And what that meant is, well, your Social Security that you collected is higher. Well, how much of that is taxable? Well, the formula to determine if you're going to pay tax on some of your Social Security and how much, that didn't go up by 8.7%. That stayed the same. In fact, it's always been the same going back to when they passed this law and put it into practice 30, 40 years ago almost. And so this increase, this oversized cost of living adjustment meant more people were going to have to pay tax on their Social Security. Same thing happening from 23 to 24. Now, I wish an 8.7% increase on your COLA, on your Social Security, but it was 3.2%. So not as big, but still above average. And therefore, if you maybe just had to pay a little bit of tax on your Social Security and you're like, what is everyone talking about? What's the big deal? It's not that big a deal. Well, now, be aware of that formula could be changing again, could mean that you're going to have more of your Social Security that you got to pay tax on. Pulling this up as well, the second change, again, this isn't a tax law change, it's a government change, and that is the income thresholds for IRMA, for income-related monthly adjustment amount, okay? So this is whether you have to pay a surcharge on your Medicare Part B and Part D. Not everyone pays the same thing for Medicare Part D, so that one, the surcharge amount gets a little confusing. It's much more straightforward with Medicare Part B. In 2024, your Medicare Part B rate, the base rate is $174.70. If your income from 2 years ago, so from 2022, was below certain levels, married, filing jointly, that number, that adjusted gross income number, has gone up to over 200,000. The year before, I don't have it right in front of me. I think it was 194, 195. Year before that, it was in the 180s. And so I have actually had folks that their income from, you know, while on Medicare, they still own some businesses and they've got some rental income and other things. Their income has been right around this 200,000 threshold, and they've had to pay IRMA. And now, because this has been increasing, their IRMA is going to be going away.
That's awesome.
That is some relief. Yeah. Ideally, you're planning for that and you're aware of that. But because if you go over that 206, from 206 to 258, which that's not a big runway, instead of paying 174, you pay 244. The next threshold, 349, 454. I mean, it's pretty incredible how much you could be paying.
And this can affect some of the strategies that you're employing in your financial life. You know, we often talk about things like Roth conversions, and this is a decision, a strategic choice that you make on an annual basis. How much money do I want to pull out of an IRA and get into a Roth? And I pay the tax in between, but you're trying to peg your income at just the right level. It may be that the threshold has increased enough that maybe you could be doing even a little bit more into the Roth these days.
So what's the process? We just shared just a ton of potential changes, either in your life or in tax laws. What's the process for you to start planning ahead? A multi-year tax projection. Multi-year tax projection, forecasting what this year might look like for your taxes, next year, the following. Your CFP is going to help you with that, and that will give you the awareness of what adjustments you need to make in your planning. That's all the time we have for today. On behalf of Josh Gregory, Kevin Corhorn, all of us at KFG, have a great weekend. We'll see you next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Need some help or have a question? Or find us online. So here's the thing. Lindsay told me we needed to change how I was asking for questions, and it's got my brain all twisted up like a pretzel.
Do you know what is funny? As I've been listening to you, it feels like I'm listening to you at 1.5 speed.
Oh, really? Do I need to slow it down?
Nothing. You're just fine.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Securities offered through Silver Oak Securities, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through KFG Wealth Management, LLC. Doing business as Corhorn Financial Group. KFG Wealth Management, LLC and Silver Oak Securities Incorporated companies are unaffiliated.